responders. So we already talked about the different waves of volunteers, the first and the second and the third wave. And I was always third wave, which is coming in and organizing and planning and rebuilding. But there's also four levels of response. One is physical, so the protesters, the first responders, the people who take up arms, the people who make sandwiches, for goodness sakes, and go and help support the people doing this work. And then the second level is the emotional. And this doesn't have to be just in wartime. It's also, like social workers, man, almost all of their work is emotional work. And then the third is the mind. So this is organizing, rallying people around a mission. And then there's the fourth level, which is the etheric, the spiritual level, which obviously is trying to heal and clear, and hold space on that energetic level. In this special episode, the Light in the Fog podcasters speak to current events. As of January 2026, things have radically and very swiftly shot out of a cannon on both an energetic level as well as on a national response level. There are those who believe we are at the center of a universal war of good versus evil. Others believe that more people are awakening every day on a global basis, and that is a very good thing. Welcome to the shift. The more mindfully we move through these transitions, the better the future we get to have on the far side. And that is the subject of our In Response to Horrible Things episode.
Well, hello, Trey.
Hi, Jenny. Boy, howdy. End of January, it is in bulk. And it is a mess. Things have radically and very, very swiftly shot out of a cannon. We've been moving kind of slowly. I know people don't think we were moving slowly, but we went for it this week, on an energetic level as well as on a national response level. Would you agree?
I would. I feel like there's so much to unpack here, obviously. But I feel like we recognize that the issues that we're about to talk about have been happening to people of color and people who are minorities every single day.
For
And that
decades, for
this
hundreds of
for
years.
decades, literally since this country's been a thing,
That's
literally
right.
since this country's been a thing. And we are just now coming to the light of the issue because it's now happening to white people, which I think is an important thing to address as well. And so, yeah, that's unfortunately the matter of it is now that it's happening to white people. People care more and more people are saying something, but we
Yeah.
want to recognize that this doesn't just happen to white people. And in fact, often it doesn't happen to us.
Yeah. And there are those of us who've been living in this space for a very long time. A lot of us have lived in, very dynamic, diverse communities our whole lives, or at least part of our lives. And we got into the activist, role at all different parts of our lives and have participated at different pieces and parts. But what is so interesting, I think, and it's not just people of color. Hey, women only got the vote 100 years ago. We were chattel, we were property. We were sold into sex slavery and they called it marriage. Let's talk about what's been going on with the LGBTQ community. And it's not just our country, it's all around the world. This seems to be a perpetual, I don't know. And I have long conversations. I've had conversations about this since, I don't know, since grade school. Not kidding, I was that kid. Like, why are humans so unfathomably terrible to each other? Why does war exist? And now we are at a point where we are looking at war on our own country. on our own land in a way that we haven't for a while, not terribly long. I mean, when you look at it, the Civil War was not that long ago, folks. So here we are again, and some of us psychics, we've been tracking the energy this whole time and trying to get a sense. The astrology, I'm sorry, it is literally the anniversary. It's the 250th anniversary of the American Revolution, and all of the things that happened during the American Revolution, guess what, are happening again right now. So anybody who says that astrology, is just, I don't know, fancy talk. Man, it's science, folks. Go study.
Well, and also, talking about the social studies side of it, I'm gonna butcher the heck out of this, but I know
Do
that
it.
it's kind of a thing that empires don't really last longer than 200 years, the Roman Empire didn't last longer than that, 200 to 250 years, and then it collapses usually. And guess what's happening to ours at the 250 year mark? So like yeah, doesn't surprise me one bit.
So we don't usually talk politics on this podcast. This was something that Jenny and I talked about when we were deciding what we wanted this podcast to be. And let's face it, just being who we are, most especially Jenny as a transgender person, we've already been politicized. Just our very existences as psychics, as witches, as women, as transgender, makes us in that realm. And we decided that even though we both pay attention and participate, that this podcast was not the place for those conversations. We had lots and lots of other things that we wanted to talk about that we felt were more about how to move forward, as humans. Rather than be reactionary to whatever was happening in the news. Did I get that right, Jenny?
Yeah, you nailed that. I feel like, we talk about the blend of trauma and metaphysics. Oh, my light blinking is scaring me. My power
That
actually went
was
out earlier
interesting.
today.
Oh, no.
My power went out earlier today, so hopefully that doesn't happen. If it does, then uh-oh. Whoa.
Is
I hope
that
it's catching all of this.
Yeah, do you have a little entity hanging out with you, or is this literally just, hey, it's super cold and there was a storm and
No, it's not cold. There was no storm. The power did go out, but it was an actual power outage. And so I don't know if that's what's just going on right now. Very spooky. Ooh, spooky. I was thinking when we started this that we should have cleared before we did
I
this
did a little
episode.
bit.
Okay, of course you did. I don't know. I don't know why I doubted. But yeah, I mean, getting back to it, we
Got
made
my
this
pendulum.
podcast.
For folks at
Perfect.
home, this is the life of a psychic, that sometimes when you step into spaces energetically, those spaces look back. So we're going to clear and we're going to add some protections. Carry
Yeah.
on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you said, like you were just talking about, we made this podcast to further the human expansion and the soul growth, and help us all together. And we felt like that was a blend of trauma and spirituality, and so that's what we made this podcast for, plus some fun stuff on the side. And in no
Movies.
way, yeah. And I don't know, there's a part of me that enjoys talking about politics, and then there's a part of me that doesn't enjoy talking about politics. But there's times where it's very important to talk about the politics, especially when your country is rapidly becoming an authoritarian state, which is just wild to think about. And
Yeah,
also,
sure is.
especially when there's energies at play behind it, and that's kind of our space. So we figured we could just make this both outside of our scope and inside of our scope as much as we could.
Yeah. And one of the things that we're going to do that other folks who have wanted to speak in this space have done is to use code words, partially for censorship. Lots of folks get bounced for speaking too directly to things, but we're pretty sure you guys, y'all know what's up. So
Yeah.
you'll be able to follow along. And the energies behind all of this that Jenny is talking about is, and this is where things like you may be listening to this and be like, get really excited by this, or you may go, wow, this is too much for me. But y'all, there's a universal war going on, and right now we're the hot spot right now. So there are many, 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 many light workers who have been doing a ton of work, not just today, not just the last year, not just the last few decades, but we've always been here doing the work to try to create the spaces where humans can, live without interference and evolve without interference. And we're pretty outmatched, but we do what we can.
Yeah, I feel like, especially because there's just so much that I don't know, and I'm learning all the time, and it's just so much to grasp and wrap your head around at times. Yeah, I agree with you on everything you said. Like, we're here. Sorry, my brain just farted for a second. What were you were talking about, like,
Interference. I was talking about
yes.
interference.
Were you really?
Yes. And
Oh
I'm
my
still
God.
clearing, by the way. I still have my pendulum going for folks who don't have the video at home. I am rocking
And
my.
also for the folks who don't have the video at home, my light flickered twice in like very
Yeah.
big ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of things about like what's going on where like people who care, people who are empaths, just try and wrap their head, trying to wrap your head around how you could do that awful thing of things to people is just, it's unfathomable. It is evil, and there's a question of how evil begins and stuff like that and where it comes from. But there's a war right now, like an actual spiritual war. And things don't want us to recognize that,
Nope.
which,
But we are, and that's
but we
really what the
are.
heart of this conversation is so there's a whole bunch of us out there. I watch a lot of fellow light workers and psychics and channelers and astrologers and tarot readers. And they all have been talking about this literally for a decade. Like, we all knew that this time was coming. We all knew what the stakes were, and we all knew that there was a certain number of people who needed to. They just used the phrase like wake up. Hey, it's good enough for Jesus. It's good enough for me. That we needed folks to, to just wake up and to make better decisions about, how to live their lives according to their values. And that's really what spirituality, in my world comes down to. It's not about following rules. It's really about what are my values and how best to align with those values, on a daily basis. Knowing that there will be days that I fail. I gotta tell you, there's 0, 0, 0 possibility that I'm gonna fail the way some of our country people are failing to live to their to you know to human values. So we're waiting to see, how many folks come online. Before they kept saying, oh, we only need 10% of humanity to like kind of get with the program and to recognize that there's more going on than just this world. And to do better and to live from love and light. And we blew past 10%, and yet this is still going on. And I just feel like there's this weird thing going on in some council room somewhere, I don't know, in the etheric, where they're like, but look at how many more people we can get if we really, really torture them and really, really scare them. Like they all seem to, that's how humans seem to wake up, is through conflict and torture and abuse. And man, I gotta tell you, like there's only so much we can take before we implode. And then if we looked at the numbers of folks around the world who have passed because of climate change, starvation, drought, war, we're working to get out of here. And if we are meant to be a species that gets to continue, we need some help. And not just people saying, oh, wow, that poor white woman who got shot, or that poor white guy who got shot. We need help.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like it's just hard, especially because I'm not a psychic as you are, for number one. So like it's just hard for me to know how this is gonna go, you know? And I feel like thinking about like the whole council member room, like, you know, people talking amongst themselves about how to decide our fate, I feel like it's almost like the nihilistic way to look at it, which is so valid. But like I feel like it's if it's a war between good and evil, it's the classic like evil has taken over, you know, and like evil controls everything. And it's just, I keep getting Wolfenstein. It's a video game where you play as a guy who shoots Nazis, essentially, and the last Wolfenstein game takes place in future America. And it's just like it's like that. Like it's they're controlling more than we thought. And like you said, we need help. But I also think a lot more people are awake than we planned for and anticipated, than they planned for and anticipated, you know, and I feel like there is still hope. There has to be hope
Oh,
still.
yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah.
You know, so like, yeah.
I don't mean to sound as if this is the end times, because it's not. This is a shift. This is a transition, and it's a transformation. And the more mindfully we move through this transformation, the better the future we get to have on the far side. I just don't agree, because I'm a pacifist, because I'm who I am. I don't agree with the methods. I think humans can evolve through love and encouragement and opportunity, versus whatever these shenanigans, because they feed off of the negative, whatever any of this is. They feed, nom 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 nom, and I've been fighting for years from feeding them. And as somebody who has PTSD and has depression, it's not always in my control. But when it is, I sure aspire to try to contribute in positive ways. And not, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, well, I want to like, I don't know. I feel like the topic of pacifism is really interesting, and I don't know if we want to like go through it that much, but like, it's just so hard, this idea of like, are you a pacifist up to what point, you know? And like, would you defend yourself against people to the point of violence and death, you know? Or would you defend those you love, you know? And like, there are some people who, no matter what happens, they just aren't going to change. They're not going to change, Trey. They're not going to change no matter what we do. No matter what we do. Oh God, there's song lyrics that are really fitting for this, but I'm probably not going to remember them, so we shouldn't dwell on them.
Go look
But
them up.
like,
No. You have a smartphone. Go find them. I love it when we get pop
okay.
culture bibliomancy coming in. Will I distract
I
you if
just
I
don't know
address the
what
pep?
song it is. I just don't know what song it is. So that's why I'm like, because there's
Okay.
lyrics that talk about like What if I try and talk to you, but the only language you understand is violence? You
Mm.
know? And like, it's just so hard to know what to do anymore. You know, like obviously keep growing your soul and like self-work is where I feel like I'm at. But like at the same time, it's like, you know, and we're going to talk more about these shifts that have been going on, but the shifts have just been so dramatic and so dynamic, you know,
Traumatic.
and traumatic. Yeah. And it's just like, what the fuck is next? You know, like I hope it's a better one. 'Cause like these ones, the past one has been better, but like Jesus, like oh my God. So yeah, it's
That
crazy
was
times
too
too, for sure.
pleased to the Lord. So there's two things in there I would love to make to unpack a little bit. So the concept of passivity until when? And the answer is we never know. Like we most of us will never be confronted with that moment. And I think it's a little bit of a fallacy. It's a bad thought experiment to ask somebody, oh, you're anti-gun, but what happens if they come to your house and they put a gun to your child's head? Then what? Well, I don't know what then. Like I couldn't possibly know, but do I live in anticipation of a thing that's probably for me, luckily, is never going to happen, mostly because I don't have kids, but like it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So they use these kind of scare tactics to try to scare us out of passivity. And I remember at some point early, because I've been doing these thought experiments on myself my whole life, I was like, well, here's the thing. And I think we talked about this in an episode where when I moved to New York City, it was incredibly violent. I mean, I would hear gunshots out my window routinely when I lived in the village. It was a dangerous place to be. And I just decided, okay, if I'm supposed to go out, you know, in violence, in a mugging or a gunshot situation, I'm just going to have to accept that because I can't let it stop me from having this New York City experience. And I feel like that is something that we also could be engaged with. I feel like I've spent the last 2 years really studying mortality, what happens afterwards, and how to live in this experience, knowing that you know I'm an eternal soul. I hate this phrase so much because now it's everywhere. I'm a soul having a human experience, you know? But I know what's beyond. And then it's me saying, if it's my time to go, like stop fighting it. And I feel like there are people who do go into these situations and they go in without mindfulness. And that's why all of the violence can be so horrible, horrible. Then God forbid they live through the violence and then they get to live the rest of their life re-experiencing that violence, right? Whereas on the other hand, if you say, I'm going to go and engage in this warfare right now, and I understand that it could mean the end of my life doing it, and I'm good with that, then that really changes. Like it returns the power to you because you have chosen, you know, the rules of engagement, and you know that sacrificing yourself may very well be what you came here to do. And it's certainly going to get better when you bail out of this place.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just have a very different look at it. But for me, passivity is about I don't want to commit violence on somebody else. I don't know what it would take for me to interfere. Like, I feel like if I saw somebody being beaten up and I thought I could intervene, it would be more in trying to protect that person than trying to commit violence on that person so I could show them a thing or two. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely hear what you're saying about like intent coming into play, you know, and like I don't know, I feel like talking about like beating somebody up because they deserve it deserve it, versus like, taking somebody out because they just need to not freaking be here anymore. It's hard. It's hard. But I agree with you that like ultimately violence is not the answer. And using violence begets itself further. And like I understand that to the core. And also I still feel that moment of just like I wish someone would try sometimes. And it's just so weird. It's so weird. And I know it's like my soul scrubbing itself off a little bit, and it's that pride and it's that ego. But it's also this fierce protection of my community, where it just gets me really riled up. Like really just like I'm going to protect those I love with all that I can, and I don't care what gets put at risk. I don't care what the cost is. Like I will protect those I love, and like obviously with mitigating circumstances, but like, like I don't know. So and yeah, food for thought on that one. And we can cap that too, but like
Yeah, I feel like that's a rich one, and we can go further into that. Probably the
yeah.
last thing I would say is I never understood why I was never targeted for violence when I lived in New York or Chicago, frankly, for that matter, because I did a lot of stupid, reckless things. That was not about trying to protect anybody else. It was called self-abandonment, I think, is the modern phrase. And the only thing I could conclude was that predators are seeking weakness. And I gotta tell you, rage. I was always so unfathomably angry that I think that they could read it on me. It's like, yeah, come at me, because you know what? I'm going to the hospital, but you are coming with me. And I think that they, out of their own sense of self-preservation, stepped away. Now, do I have any proof of that? Heck no. It may also just been the angels who are like, oh, look, she's drunk again, walking home at night. Let's just make her invisible because she's got other things to do later on. It's hard to say. I deeply, deeply, deeply respect the people. So there's four waves of responders. So we already talked about the different waves of volunteers, the first and the second and the third wave. And I was always third wave, which is coming in and organizing and planning and rebuilding. But there's also four levels of response. One is physical, so the protesters, the first responders, the people who take up arms, the people who make sandwiches, for goodness sakes, and go and help support the people doing this work. And then the second level is the emotional. So, and this doesn't have to be just in wartime. It's also, like social workers, man, almost all of their work is emotional work. And then the third is the mind. So this is organizing, rallying people around a mission. And then there's the fourth level, which is the etheric, the spiritual level, which obviously is trying to heal and clear, and hold space on that energetic level. And I know for myself, I'm a three and a four, so I'm mind in this, in the meat suit, I'm a mind responder, and then I'm a spiritual healer. I am not the person who's gonna go to the protests and do those things. I'm just not. It doesn't speak to me, and I don't think we should force ourselves or guilt people into it, because I see a lot of that, a lot of that. Like, oh, if you're not at this protest, then you don't believe in blah, blah, blah. I'm like, girl, you have no idea the work I'm doing on the etheric level that like you're not, like that's not your call, but this is my call.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like I'm very much an emotional responder where like I would go to the protest if I was in a different body. I would go to the protests as like one of those medic people who just go around looking for injured people, looking for people who need water, knowing full well that I'm still putting myself in harm's way if the protests get scary, because I'm still in the front lines. But like I'm not there. I'm there to serve other people, and I feel like as an emotional responder, I'm just like I have so much capacity for everybody else, like, and not in a bad way. I just genuinely do. And so, yeah, I hear that. And it's
Now, when you
interesting
said,
because,
oh, sorry, go ahead.
oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
You had said if I were in a different body, so would you mind speaking to that?
I'm just not currently at my most physically comfortable and also at my most physically able, you know? And so I can't stand on, I can, because I'm fat, I can't like stand on the street for 7 hours or 8 hours or 9 hours without having it take a toll on my body. You know, and I'm getting there, I'm getting better, but it's a war of attrition and it takes time. Losing weight takes time and it takes like diligence and perseverance and a lot of things. And also like, yeah, I think that's the main reason, honestly. It's just the meat suit stuff. The meat suit isn't quite where I'd want it to be to engage in such activities, even though I rave all the time.
Meaning, Jenny goes to dance clubs, to raves, as opposed to what Gen Xers think of when they hear rave.
Yeah.
I rave all the time. Mostly just to my friends in private, but it happens. It's a thing. And Jenny and I were like, we have been having some tough conversations. And I think a big piece of it is, so we already came into all of this very much awake and aware and knowing what was coming. I mean, you know, as much as we can know, right? We can't possibly know the specifics. But also having a really strong sense of what our values were, regardless of whether or not this stuff was happening, at the decibel level that it's happening now, we still are just really, we just pay attention, to how we want to walk through the world and what our values are. And I think the only time I really felt like I was not living my values was, there was a 10-year span when I was in LA when I was just trying to get my feet under me, and I worked for some pretty bad people, and got to witness some pretty horrible things. Now, I did not have the power to stop any of them. My power was in leaving. Marines, we are leaving, which did happen on any number of occasions, but in the staying, it was it was abusing the self and hoping for a better outcome and not knowing how incredibly out what's that word out I was outmatched, and then having to figure out, okay, this is the power that I do have in this world. How can I live a life that maximizes what I bring to the party? What my capacity is, both as just, a worker, but also as a psychic. But to also, stay in my values lane. And I feel like you've never not lived. Well, no, that's not true. Because we, as kids, we do whatever the heck we can do to survive. But I feel like once you
Yeah.
made the decision to embrace yourself, you live your values.
I agree. I feel like I have to fight for my values more because I'm borderline and because I'm bipolar, where it's just never easy and interactions are never easy and socially being is never easy. And the easy way out is like lying and masking and all that other stuff. Which I mean I still mask anyway, but like yeah, I've had to work for it a lot. And I'm grateful for who I am and I trust myself. And so yeah, I feel while I don't quite understand my role in what's to come, I feel confident knowing that I will react appropriately in whatever is to come, you know, and trust myself on that.
Yeah. I like the idea that some of us have gotten to the point where we are not corruptible. And even as I say that, I'm like putting a question mark on the end of that, because just like you don't know what's going to push you into committing murder, you also can't know the decision that you make that sends you down a road of corruption. I can say that in the current And the reason I think that we're exploring all of this, you guys, those of you listening, is because this is the pathway through this is knowing what your values are, knowing what levels that you can participate at and that you feel called to participate at. And making some of these decisions in advance, perhaps. Like if somebody comes and knocks on your neighbor's door, like what is your response? Because that's a thing now, that could happen. So, and there's so much education out there that you can learn how to, be a good neighbor to folks, both folks who are in genuine jeopardy of being disappeared, but also just community building. And I feel like that's what's kind of happening right now is the folks who are engaging. Maybe they were, they got to live their nice little life or their not so nice little life. Who am I to know or to judge? But now more is required. But there are so many people who have already put a ton of education out there so that like your phone is your friend. Something's happening, you record it, you live stream, and there's lists and lists and lists of things that you can do so that you can get in the fight, even if you're not in the fight. I think that education, I'm a teacher, it's kind of everything.
Yeah, well, and like choosing to get yourself educated. Like, I know it's hard sometimes, but like, it's important. It's important, especially now. So, you know what's going on in your world and you know what's going on in your community. And that's choosing to get yourself educated is like the first step for a lot of people. Oh no, my power went out.
Oh no, power outage at Jenny's house. We reset for part two of In Response to Horrible Things and discuss the shifts in more detail. Jenny and Trey have always been aware of the wild range of external and internal shifts, and they are becoming increasingly undeniable to all. The world is finally waking up, and that is the most significant shift of all. Join us for part two of In Response to Horrible Things. Please like, subscribe, and visit our Patreon.